Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five, and we are raising our children out here at Eastern Plains of Colorado. Steve on in studio with me as well, a homeschool father of six. And today we're going to talk about some cultural things. But it's interesting, Steve, how God's Word gives us the right interpretation as to what's going on in the world, what's really going on in the world. As we do the Worldview in 5 Minutes program each and every day, I'm struck with how the news constantly substantiates the truth of God's Word. As long as we are interpreting the events of what's going on in the world by God's Word. And that is, as you read the news, as you hear the news, you're constantly reminded of the truth of God's Word that man's heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. There's a data point. And that one's substantiated, wouldn't you say, just about every day?
Pretty much every day.
Yeah. All day long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And here's the other thing. Only God can save us. I think governments have proven again and again they cannot save us, but God can.
Yeah, but the government's going to keep trying.
Well, that's right. That's right. All right. Well, a couple of things that we take out of the news each and every day. But I was picking up the Wall Street Journal yesterday and found this really interesting article on the front page of the Wall Street Journal just yesterday, my friends. And they were covering a satanic rock band called Ghost out of Sweden. And, boy, there was an incredible irony that showed up on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. Now, they did not quote the Word of God. Now, they could have, but they did not. Of course, we read these stories through the lens of a biblical worldview. And if you do so, then you're going to get the truth of it, and it will shine. You will begin to understand what's going on in the world. Well, anyway, this occult band from Sweden named Ghost has won the 2016 Grammy Award for the Best Metal Performance. So they're an up-and-coming band out of Sweden. They sing of human sacrifices. They lead the audiences in chants to Belial, Beelzebub, and Lucifer, and sort of the old style of satanic metal bands that we used to see in the 1970s and yeah. early 1980s. But they've kept themselves anonymous for the last 10 years.
They so makeup masks, and stuff.
Makeup yeah. masks. You know, nobody knows who they are. And that's all part of the shtick.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of a sense of, you know, mystery about this satanic band, and so that, I guess, is all part of the shtick. Well, now the band is in a very big fight, a legal fight over salaries and profit, and evidently some of them got fired and a new band was brought on and so forth and so on. So there's a big legal fight going on among this satanic band. And the suit has now identified the band members' names, so it's all out.
Yeah.
So everybody knows who the band leader is and the band members. And but here's the kicker. The former Ghouls, who filed suit, declined interviews with the Wall Street Journal, but in a statement released in April, they accused the band leader, get this, they accused the band leader of an unabashed dishonesty, greed, and darkness.
Surprise!
Imagine that. The satanic band leader is accused of unabashed dishonesty, greed, and darkness. How in the world did that come about?
I have no idea.
Dishonesty, greed, darkness?
Yeah. Satan and these things, are they even equal?
And here's the Wall Street Journal. Not the darkness of which Ghost sings, but a darkness that pushes a person to betray his best friends when fame and fortune appear within reach.
Wow.
Well, you know, I guess Satan really does exist.
Yeah. That is so ironic.
He's operating backstage.
Yeah.
As well as on stage.
Yeah. So they were trying to leave him on stage, but didn't happen.
Big surprise. Big surprise, my friends. The band leader of the satanic band is got unabashed dishonesty, greed, and darkness. It shouldn't be any surprise at all. And betraying friends? Didn't Judas do something like that?
Something after
Satan filled Judas, and then Judas betrayed his friend. You remember that?
Yeah.
So betraying friends, darkness, greed, and dishonesty in a satanic band.
That all seems appropriate.
Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? It does make sense. Oh, man. God's Word has been substantiated again backstage of wherever this Ghost is performing. These guys turn out to be sinners like the rest of us, and they need to be saved. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, Selfish ambitions. Dissensions? Did I say dissensions?
I think so.
Heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5. Well, there it is. You know, this band does not seem to be very serious about their Satanism backstage. In fact, I was catching a couple of interviews they've done before with the press, and they're not super serious about their Satanism backstage. Their real purpose is actually to make money.
Really?
Yeah, that's the purpose of the band. Now, on stage, they're worshiping Satan and getting everybody to chant the name of Beelzebub or Belial or whatever it is, but they're out to make money and maybe offend some Christians, the last few Christians left in Sweden. But let's face it, friends. These guys are sensationalists and materialists at heart, and they would kill their best friend to make a buck. Okay, that's who they are. They're denying the supernatural backstage while acknowledging the supernatural onstage. Because it's all about making money and living lives of pleasure in a purposeless universe, while at the same time they recognize something of the supernatural on stage. Well, there you go. That's the contradiction. That's the inconsistency in the worldview of the satanic band. Because really, what is the Western world but a bunch of materialists that are doing their best to deny the supernatural? But the supernatural inevitably affects them because they betray their best friends. And they worship money, and they are violating God's law. They are sinning against the true and living God, and they need salvation as the rest of us do. Well, it turns out Satan doesn't show up in boogie monster outfits. Satan shows up backstage. These guys take off their satanic masks. They begin to interact with each other, and Satan is right there in the midst of them. He's causing the dissension. He's causing the disunity. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Satan's the liar, the deceiver. He comes as an angel of light. Satan shows up in some guy like Rob Bell or Joel Osteen, not as much in some rock band dressed up like ghouls called Ghost. Everybody get it? You get it?
Yeah.
This is what Satan does. He works more backstage than he does on stage. And, of course, he creates diversions, which means he keeps people from talking about the fundamental problems. We'll be back with more on the Generations broadcast as we revisit the question of witchcraft and Satanism in America. Be back in just a moment with more on the Generations broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org.
Good
We are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you, Steve Vaughn in studio as well, as we discuss the return of witchcraft and Satanism to the United States. And, of course, apostate nations give way to Satanism, and this is precisely what happened with the great philosophers of the 19th century, guys like Nietzsche, Marx, and, of course, Mark Twain as well. All of them acknowledge their service to Satan and their communication with Satan. And this, of course, is common knowledge for those who've read their autobiographies and their biographies. And I summarize these things in my book, Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. So if you're concerned with the history of modern philosophy, and if you think that Karl Marx, Friedrich Nietzsche, Mark Twain have been influential in American high schools and colleges over the last 100 years, which indeed their ideologies dominate, then I'd suggest you understand that the roots of their ideas come from Satan himself, acknowledged to be so by these men in their biographies, in their autobiographical remarks. And so I would encourage you to read the book Apostate Men Who Destroy the Christian West. But as the philosophers have taken on satanic influence and have invited satanic influence, as Nietzsche did, as Marx did, as Mark Twain did, so also we see the same thing happening in pop culture as Satanism goes mainstream in the pop culture with bands like Led Zeppelin. It was very much influenced by Satan. Mick Wall, who is by no means a fundamentalist Christian, just an ordinary biographer for Led Zeppelin, wrote a book called When Giants Walk the Earth, and spoke of rock stars as compared to priests. The concert bears some resemblance to trance music found in Morocco. Concerned with the evocation and control of spiritual forces, for this magic to succeed, it must tap the sources of magical energy, and this can be dangerous.
Yeah, can be.
Can be. It can backfire. And the reason why when you tap into demonic energy it can backfire is because demons aren't nice.
Right, and they do have some power. And what's interesting, you know, with one guy saying, you know, I cast you out in the name of Jesus, whom Paul speaks about, and the demon is like, well, I know Jesus, I know Paul, but who are you?
Yeah, exactly.
They don't care about.
They don't care, and they always will destroy their victims or those that develop relationships with them. And that's the story of Led Zeppelin. If you read the book When Giants Walk the Earth by Mick Wall, his biography of Led Zeppelin, you find precisely this kind of thing happening. Mick Wall writes that Jimmy Page's friend Kenneth Anger described Stairway to Heaven as Zeppelin's most Luciferian song, a quest for spiritual birth, pagan imagery, so forth. According to Jimmy Page, the lyrics for the gigantic song came quickly. It was like someone was guiding his hand. And Page bought an occult bookstore and, of course, Aleister Crowley's house as well, which is believed to have been inhabited by demons. During a visit with Jimmy Page at his home, another rock star, David Bowie, became convinced the place was overrun with satanic demons, whom Crowley's disciples had summoned straight from hell. Eventually, the band's infatuation with Satanism caught up with them, and what they perceived to be demonic attacks contributed to the dissolution of the band in the 1980s. So, again, it was the satanic influence upon Led Zeppelin that was invited by the band themselves that became the destructive force that destroyed them. So playing with these satanic forces, of course, will inevitably do terrible things to the bands backstage or in their homes. So this is the sort of thing we see again and again and again amongst those who want to play with satanic forces. So again, let's be aware that Satan is real. Let's be aware, however, that he manifests himself in so many different ways as well. Obviously, do not invite him. Obviously, don't worship him. Don't acknowledge him to be a god of any sort at all. Always realize that God is sovereign over the devil. In fact, if Satan wanted to bother Job, he had to ask permission of God. I think that's important. We need to understand that God is sovereign, and God will one time toss Satan into hellfire forever and ever. So be aware that there is a God in the heavens who is the one true and living God who is over all things, and he is the creator of all of these angelic forces, good angels, bad angels alike. And God is the one we ought to be serving. God is the one with whom we ought to have a right relationship, and that right relationship comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, who came to die on the cross for our sins.
Yeah, and I think one of the very important things that you said is that this is just not something that should be trifled with. This is not something you experiment with. This is not something that you play around with, because the demons and Satan do have a great deal of power. And once you surrender that power, your power to them, there's no telling what they can do.
Right now, we're in the middle of putting together an American history curriculum for our 10th graders. And, in fact, right now we're marketing a Christian worldview perspective of American history versus the materialistic, anti-supernaturalistic perspective that is offered almost everywhere else. We're trying to bring a Christian perspective to American history and to the Salem witch trials. You don't find very many American history textbooks that will deal with the true satanic presence in Salem that will interact with the supernatural and understand the supernatural does exist. That, of course, is not going to be taught in most of your American history classrooms. Why? Because they're anti-God, anti-supernaturalistic, and materialistic in their worldview. So, of course, as Christians, we don't want to use any other curriculum but that which acknowledges a biblical worldview. So we're working on an American history curriculum called In God's Providence that we are producing as part of this ministry. And I'm working through the history on witchcraft. And for about 1,000 years, the Christian church taught that no person should engage supernatural work independent of the will of God. To believe in witchcraft as witchcraft was to believe a heresy, to believe that witchcraft was operational independent of the sovereign ordination of God himself, to believe that somehow the demons can operate outside of the sovereign work of Almighty God would be itself a heresy. And this was taught for 1,000 years. And the church fathers wisely understood also that people are easily taken by the fear of the devil. So they did not want to in any way inspire anything of a fear of the devil amongst those people. But as the church weakened, you saw that the devil seemed to have an influence upon people in the medieval period. Could it be that one trick of the devil is to get people to believe in the presence of witches when there are none? In other words, sometimes witchcraft involves, or speaking of witchcraft, involves what I would call a self-fulfilling prophecy. And I think this was working somewhat in Salem during the 1690s when these people accused of witches arose. I think there was the power of suggestion and something of a self-fulfilling prophecy that came about. The suggestion goes this way. Maybe you are more subject to the sin of witchcraft. Or today, put it in today's language, as someone is speaking to, say, a 14-year-old in an American junior high, maybe you are a little more subject to the sin of homosexuality. You see, that's the power of suggestion. You get me, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
So the power of suggestion eventually results in people giving way to it. The suggestion itself results in people giving way to it because somebody made the suggestion. It's a little bit of what we call the fourth use of the law. It's the beans in the nose use of the law. If you suggest that children ought not to put beans in their noses, guess what happens?
They put beans in
their
noses.
They wind up putting beans in their noses. You begin to talk about it. Eventually, people start doing it. Why? Because people's hearts tend to be deceitful and easily taken by sin. Okay, so more mature Christians always warn weaker Christians not to give too much credence to the devil. Another concern would be to see that the devil's primary mode of operation come through witchcraft, and it doesn't. It comes through other means. His primary mode of operation is tempting us to sin. It's not this idea of witchcraft. Witch hunts began during the Inquisitions during the 1300s and 1400s. Did you know that? That's when witch hunts began. And as it turned out, there was a weakened Roman Catholic Church during that period, obviously weakened because they're persecuting real Christians like the Waldensians at the same time. So as the Roman Catholic Church weakened, guess what happened? More incidences of witchcraft. Why? Because they suggested that witchcraft was becoming more prevalent in the area. And the more they suggested it, the more they created the fear, the more they created the witches, and the more they created the witches, the more they created the witch hunts, and the more they created the witch hunts, the more witches were executed. So you see how it becomes this, I think Satan is involved in tempting them to speak this way and to think this way. And so that's how these witch hunts began in the 1300s and 1400s. Now, even between 1580 and 1700, historians estimate between 40,000 and 60,000 people were executed in Europe.
Wow.
40,000 to 60,000 people executed in Scotland, Germany, Sweden, and other European countries on charges of witchcraft. That was between 1580 and 1700, which is precisely the time at which the Salem witch trials took place in the United States, in America, in Massachusetts.
Yes.
So the Europeans were busy executing between 40,000 and 60,000 witches. Now, have you ever heard of that before?
I had heard about that.
Yeah,
yes.
but you don't hear it nearly as much as you hear about the Salem witch trials.
Right.
In which something like 15 or 20 people lost their lives.
I think it was 19.
Yeah. 19 people lost their lives in the Salem witch trials, while between 40,000 and 60,000 were being executed in Germany, Sweden, and Scotland. So anyway, but the point being made that that Europe was busy executing witches for a very, very long time. But eventually, of course, the weakening of the Puritan church, the weakening of the Protestant churches in America led to these witch trials and the execution of these witches. Now, one of the points I think needs to be made is that there was a weakness of the church in Salem. Salem was one of the weakest churches in all of Massachusetts. It was all wrapped up in these internal conflicts. By the time that Samuel Parris arrived to pastor the church in Salem, the congregation had become known for its infighting. The people had contended over the pastor's salary. They'd sued a former pastor over his salary and over whatever he took away from them. So there was a suit going on with the former pastor, and the former pastor wound up being hung during the witch trials. And obviously it was all tied into the contentiousness that been going on in the church during that time. You see how the contentiousness, the division, the lack of the Holy Spirit's working in that congregation led to other things, and pretty soon the whole thing spun out of control and they were executing a former pastor on charges of witchcraft.
That is amazing. I hadn't heard that story.
Yeah. Okay, well, other problems involved with this. Of course, it was Increase Mather, a very important Puritan pastor. In fact, some consider him to be the last of the Puritan pastors. Increase Mather was the man who stopped the Salem witch trials and brought these people to their senses. Thankfully, he encouraged the use of pastoring, careful counseling, careful shepherding for those folks who seem to be tempted towards some of these things and were fearing the works of the devil. And those who feared the works of the devil were the most likely to give in to the works of the devil. So these were the people that needed some careful counseling and some encouragement from the Word of God. And Increase Mather suggested that maybe shepherding would be better than executions.
Yeah, and you've got to remember that the term fear, in essence, means that you are giving the power of life and death to something. And that's why we're supposed to fear God, because he does have the power of life and death. But if you're giving your life to Satan or the fear of Satan, then you're giving him that power, which never belonged to him.
Well, an important point that was made by Increase Mather and others, and have from faithful, godly Christians since then, is that every matter must be established by two or three witnesses. And there were not two or three witnesses in these cases, friends. They were basing the trials on spectral evidence, in which they were accusing somebody of being a witch by their own dreams or visions or supernatural things that happened to be happening to them at the time. That is, you know, Satan could do some supernatural things, perhaps, might place a little bit of a vision in someone's mind, and then they would use that vision as evidence in the trial itself, meaning that Satan had the upper hand in the trials, and he was enabling them by his deceit to bring about some of these horrific things going on in Salem at that time. Well, to render too much credit or credence to the devil is just plain wrong. It's a trap. It's faithlessness on the part of God's people. We ought not to fear the devil. Yet to ignore the devil, to refuse to acknowledge when you're being deceived by the devil, or to be so proud that you'll think you'll never be tripped up by the devil, you're giving way to the devil. Think about 1 Timothy chapter 3 cautioning us on novices who sometimes are signing up to be elders or presbyters in the church. You're not to pull out a novice. Why? Because he is very easily lifted up with pride and thereby falls into the snares of the devil. And this kind of thing happens fairly commonly in the church. So we ought to be very, very cautious and careful that we're not being deceived by the devil. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And also in Ephesians 5, we find that we ought to put away lying. Let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So lying and anger and conflict can be a means by which we're giving place to the devil. But how do we compensate for this kind of thing? Well, by confessing our sins, by simply humbling ourselves and confessing our sins. When we're proud and we refuse to confess our sins, we give place to the devil. Bottom line here, friends, we are in a spiritual world. We are not just living in a physical, materialist world. the ungodly are given the demonic, deceitful perspective that somehow they're living in a world without the supernatural. The devil would love for people not to believe that he exists. The devil would love to believe that God doesn't exist. The devil would love for people to believe the supernatural doesn't exist. Bottom line on this edition of the program, the secular history books, on American history are dead wrong. They're based on a materialistic worldview. They do not acknowledge the presence of Satan and the demonic world in Salem in the 1690s. And for that reason, these historians are deceived by the devil himself. We are in a spiritual world. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Be aware of that. Indeed, we live in a spiritual world. We're engaged in spiritual battle, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And by faith, we hold on to that. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And by faith, we will overcome the world. These are the encouraging passages we take from 1 John. Well, friends, we're clean out of time, but I encourage you to my book, Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, to better understand the influence of Satan, especially on our worldviews that have dominated in our universities and our curriculum, our K-12's curriculum, over the last 100 years. If you want to know how Satan has had a huge influence through Mark Twain, Friedrich Nietzsche, and, of course, the satanic bands, then get a copy of Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, or the course, the high school course associated with it, Worldviews in Conflict, all available at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Thursday, June 15th, A.D. 2017. This is the World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Suspected Al-Shabaab militants entered a school in northeastern Kenya on May 31st and shot a Christian schoolteacher to death. Morningstar News reports that the group kidnapped another Christian teacher as well as a Muslim teacher. The Muslim teacher attempted to defend the Christian teacher, but the militants said, quote, "We are going to teach you a lesson for protecting the infidels," unquote, and carried them both off. The militants also beat Muslims of Somali descent at the school for providing housing for Kenyan Christians. Please pray for these Christians to be strengthened in their faith and comforted in their losses. Romans 8:35-37 reminds us, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Pastor Win Con Chin has been imprisoned in Vietnam since 2011 for Christian evangelism, after telling a visiting U.S. official on May 25th about his harsh treatment. Pastor Chin has since endured torture and solitary confinement. His wife, Hong, was herself tortured, beaten, and interrogated for 2 months at a police station following a meeting she had with a U.S. delegation on religious freedom last year, reported UCA News. As various denominations head into apostasy on the issue of homosexuality, the Russian Orthodox Church has announced it is cutting off, quote, "formal contacts," unquote, with the Protestant Church of France and the Church of Scotland over their abandonment of biblical sexuality. Dmitry Smirnov, a leader in the Russian Orthodox Church, said, quote, "The Russian Orthodox Church cannot support with its authority something that is just an iniquity from the biblical point of view," unquote. Smirnov also said those churches that believe these unnatural relations are morally acceptable have rejected Christianity and are, quote, preparing themselves for the solemn reception of the Antichrist, unquote. In our view, the Church Universal needs more Dmitry Smirnovs. Paul writes in Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. A fire broke out at London's 24-story Grenfell Tower yesterday morning. 12 people died and 79 were hospitalized. In a building with up to 600 residents, many were trapped inside the tower, screaming for help. One woman dropped her baby from the 10th floor. Amazingly, a man ran forward to catch the falling baby safely in his arms. The UK Supreme Court ruled recently to uphold an abortion ban, blocking the National Health Service in England from paying for the murder of the unborn for women traveling to Britain from Northern Ireland, according to Life News. The ruling came after a woman from Northern Ireland challenged the policy of not paying for abortions for women who are not residents in England. The number of women traveling to England from Northern Ireland for abortions has decreased over the last 10 years, with a 13% decrease in the past couple of years, according to the Department of Health in England and Wales. A gunman opened fire yesterday morning on members of Congress and their staffs while they were practicing for an annual charity baseball game in Alexandria, Virginia. The shooter fired up to 100 rounds from his M4 rifle, injuring 5 people, including House Majority Whip Steve Scalise. The congressman sustained a single rifle shot to the left hip. The bullet traveled across his pelvis, fracturing bones, injuring internal organs, and causing severe bleeding. 2 Capitol police officers shot down the attacker, who died from his injuries. Without them, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul said, quote, it would have been a massacre, unquote. The shooter has been identified as 66-year-old James T. Hutchinson from Belleville, Illinois. South Carolina Congressman Jeff Duncan said,
I did have an interaction with someone in the parking lot who asked me if the team practicing was a Democrat or Republican team. I told him they were Republicans. He said, okay, thanks, turn around. I got in the car and left to find out that my Republican colleagues were targeted by an active shooter today.
On March 22nd, Hutchinson, who volunteered in Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign, posted the following on Facebook, quote, Trump is a traitor. Trump has destroyed our democracy. It's time to destroy Trump and company, unquote. President Trump visited Pewaukee, Wisconsin on Tuesday, touring Waukesha County Technical College along with his daughter Ivanka and Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. Trump said he and the governor were negotiating to bring in a, quote, major incredible manufacturer, unquote, to the state. Trump spoke on the economy as well, advocating for a better system of apprenticeship to connect workers with millions of available jobs. Wisconsin was the first state in the country to pass legislation creating apprenticeship programs in 1911. Now the state has over 11,000 people enrolled in apprenticeship programs. During a Senate confirmation hearing last week, Senator Bernie Sanders responded angrily after Russell Vought, the nominee for deputy director of the White House Office of Management and Budget, answered a question concerning his belief that salvation is found only in Jesus Christ.
You wrote, quote, Muslims do not simply have a deficient theology. They do not know God because they have rejected Jesus Christ, his son, and they stand condemned. End of quote. Do you believe that that statement is Islamophobic?
Absolutely not, Senator. I'm a Christian, and I believe in a Christian set of principles based on my faith. That post was to defend my alma mater, Wheaton College, a Christian school that has a statement of faith that includes the centrality of Jesus Christ for salvation.
I don't know how many Muslims there are in America. I really don't know. Probably a couple of million. Are you suggesting that all of those people stand condemned? What about Jews? They stand condemned too?
Senator, I'm a Christian.
I understand you are a Christian, but this country is made up of people who are not just. I understand that Christianity is the majority religion, but there are other people who have different religions in this country. In your judgment, do you think that people who are not Christians are going to be condemned?
Thank you for probing on that question. As a Christian, I believe that all individuals are made in the image of God and are worthy of dignity and respect, regardless of their religious beliefs.
I would simply say, Mr. Chairman, that this nominee is really not someone who is what this country is supposed to be about. I will vote no.
Now, over 50,000 people have signed a petition by the Family Research Council for Senator Sanders to apologize for his public attack on the Christian beliefs of Russell Vaught. You can sign the petition in our transcript today at theworldview.com. Claire Hamming is a 14-year-old Worldview listener in Pawpaw, Michigan. She wrote me at adam@theworldview.com. She said, quote, I really enjoyed the Worldview broadcast. I listen to it every day for my homeschool, and then I write about the subjects for each day. It's really nice to be able to hear about the current events from a Christian worldview, unquote. Claire, I must confess that when I received your email and get others from young men and women like yourself, it makes all the time and effort of our team worthwhile. Keep studying hard, and thanks for making our Christian newscast a part of your learning experience. Our fundraising update in just a moment. Each day, our team spends 8 to 9 hours working on the Worldview, between researching, interviewing, transcribing, writing, text editing, voicing the newscast, and audio editing. In order to help keep the Worldview on the air, we need to raise $20,000 of pledges by Friday, June 23rd. Among the tens of thousands of our listeners, we're looking for the remnant to step up to the plate. We still need to find 10 Worldview listeners to pledge $50 per month for a year and 20 listeners to pledge $25 per month for a year to hit the $20,000 goal. Go to theworldview.com. Click on Give on the top right, choose $50 or $25, and check the recurring donation button. Unfortunately, in the last 24 hours, out of thousands of people who listen, only one person made a pledge to the Worldview. Thank you, Tanya, for your $20 per month gift. That brought us from $7,890 to $8,130. Let me issue a McManus challenge. Would you consider becoming one of just 5 listeners to pledge $25 per month, or one of 2 listeners to pledge $50 per month? That would bring us to $10,830 by my next newscast tomorrow morning, just over halfway toward our $20,000 goal. I need 7 people to help us today. Don't put it off. Go to theworldview.com and click on Give right now. And that's The Worldview on this Thursday, June 15th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.